Podcasting Fields of Gold. And welcome back, everybody. And I'm with my guest tonight, Marianne Grace. Hi, Marianne.
Hello, Arnaldo.
Hi. And, wow, yeah. Lots been going on the last few years since you were last in the studios talking about crop circles.
Crop circles, yes. I had a friend, I told a friend she knew that I was running something called the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group, but she thought it was about gardening. And for those of you that may be a little confused,
never assume anything.
Right. No assumptions. We must address everyone. So I'll just give a little something about what crop circles are. There's this amazing phenomenon that has been happening in fields of gold all around the planet. For years, actually, and from a long time, centuries, actually. Mm. But the modern-day crop circle phenomenon has been taking place since around the early 80s. And what happens is that you see these fields of wheat or barley or corn or anything, actually, strawberries, green beans.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, it can be, you know, sand, trees. There have been saplings that have been laid down. But these patterns are suddenly found in these fields, in these crops, that sometimes they don't necessarily have a clear geometric form to them at all, but they can display other anomalous qualities, and we can get into that. But the ones that, of course, that fascinate us the most are the ones that have these beautiful geometric designs in them. And in England, in the fields of England, mostly around Wiltshire, around the sacred sites, but, of course, far afield from the Wiltshire area as well, these patterns have been springing up for years. Uh-huh. They're well documented in England now, but they do happen all over the world. So,
but now you say springing up, but in fact it's pressing down.
Touche. <isn't it>? Yeah. Laying down or springing up, yes. Yes, of course.
How the actual marks are manifested in the crops,
yes,
is fascinating.
Yes, is that the upright stalks of grain get laid down often in very elaborate patterns where the stalks themselves can be woven together. Mm. And that's always really fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah.
And different type of weaving patterns.
Yes,
as well.
Weaving patterns. They're gorgeous when that happens. And also even things that can happen where in addition to the overall patterns that are laid down, you can have like sub patterns going on where, because of the lay of the crop, you'll see a fractal of the larger pattern, for instance, be laid down, or something that looks like a basket weave, which, of course, you know, they make baskets out of grasses.
That's
and
true.
Grains, and so right. It's completely appropriate.
Now, how big are, I mean, what do they range in size at?
Well, they can range in size from quite small, like, you know, a little 5-foot little circle, you know, a little tiny thing that can often, those can hold a lot of power to things that are up to, oh my God, I think there was one that was like a quarter mile across a field that was a long, kind of slightly meandering line with dots in it. Hmm. That was a number of years ago. So they can get quite large. Oh. And, you know, and of course they appear overnight, usually. Sometimes they're revisited and expanded upon or elaborated in some way. That's always very interesting.
Wow.
And then, you know, and then there is the conundrum that who's making them? And, you know, that's always a really, really big question, and what is implied there. And of course, there are people that are making them.
Right.
And
that is acknowledged. Yeah.
That is acknowledged. There are people that are making them, but even with the people that are making them, there are, you know, we live in a very magical world, and all kinds of things happen even with them.
So, yeah, just how they're guided to make that particular pattern. Why?
Yes.
You know, where did that come from?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And often there are stories about someone was meditating just on that particular pattern or needed something to confirm some project that they were working on. And this pattern shows up, and it exactly answers the problem that they were working on. And sometimes those can be man-made sometimes. But you know, what does this mean? I think that the whole message, of course, it's not just crop circles, but it gets really obvious with the crop circles, is that, you know, it's about consciousness and what is consciousness doing? How large is consciousness? How interwoven is this world? What's possible?
Exactly, and what that conveys to people, isn't it? That is the key. You mentioned the word is power. It's not just, crop circles aren't just per se inert.
No, they're not.
Tell us about the power and all the forces working around it.
Wow.
Well, some of them.
Let's see. How do I start with that? God, you could talk almost about anything here. There's the designs themselves. Geometry has power. Geometry itself is powerful.
That is true.
So that's one level. There's so many levels and levels and levels that you can look at any one of these. They're very holographic. There's the collective consciousness power of that each of us is carrying. That you know, I like to say when people ask who's making them, the answer that I most prefer is that you are, we are, we all are making them. We cannot divorce our own consciousness from this manifestation that's happening.
Right.
And so if that's true, then it's kind of like, you know, how the I Ching works, you know, this oracle that you can throw coins and incredibly, you know, you have a question, you throw the coins, it comes up with a pattern, a hexagram, and you go and read it, and it's like so specific and right on to your question. It's just amazing. Well, the reason why that works, in my opinion, is because everything in a moment necessarily, it's almost, should be like obvious, necessarily is characteristic of that moment. If it's in the moment, it's characteristic of that moment. And so when you throw the coins and you're asking the question, there's going to be some relationship there. Well, I think that there's something similar in this manifestation of crop circles, that when these patterns happen, by whomever, people...
Unknown forces,
extra dimensionals, extraterrestrials, earth energies themselves, you know, and our own consciousnesses, our own questions, that there's something that allows a manifestation, a pattern, an image to be brought down and laid into the fields that is going to speak to the people that are looking at it, and any of us that's looking at it. And it's going to speak to each one of us with our own question in mind.
Right.
So if you have, I personally, I really love mathematics and esoteric maths and geometries and, you know, sacred geometries, things like that. I personally really love that stuff. So when something happens in the fields, that part of me completely gets lit up, and I start, you know, imagining how that might be connected. And of course, it's about consciousness too, and so that all weaves, so to speak, weaves together.
Right.
And whereas someone else, you know, maybe who is a skeptic, will approach, see these things, and will start using their mind to go, okay, well, how could that have been made? You know, who are the people that are involved, or why were they doing it, or what's the conspiracy? And it's.
But yet, it poses a question in people.
Right. Yeah. And it's particular to that point of view. It's like, you know, with the hologram, you know, the perspective at which you come to the holographic image yields to you that image from that perspective.
Right.
So it's the same. Actually, you can apply that to everything in life.
Yeah.
You can apply that to everything in life. But but it's really fascinating to do it with the crop circles. So
yeah, just sort of the image that flashed almost. You know, obviously, crop circles are an impermanent,
right?
Ephemeral thing. But it's almost like maybe things like Stonehenge and all those type of circles, which were made permanent, are another manifestation of the same thing? Has that been together?
I think so, yeah. And, you know, from there, we think about Stonehenge having a real a cosmic relationship, you know, that it's a temple to alignments of the sun and moon and the earth and the seasons and the stars and all of that. And often the crop circles will have some of those same alignments. And I mean, you know, we have this eclipse coming up. Sometimes the people can read all kinds of things into these designs, where they'll find dates and the way certain elements are numbered, or, you know, how many they're going. I mean, there's a lot of interpretation going.
Right.
And I, you know, in my opinion, I think all interpretations are correct, because they're all coming from a perspective that can be heard.
It's a Rashomon perspective, isn't it?
Uh-huh, right. Yeah. Actually, I don't quite know the reference of Rashomon. Tell me that one.
It's the a Japanese film, a Kurosawa film, where two people come meet in a clearing, and somebody kills the other person, but five other people were watching it, and they all had different stories, all related, totally different stories from the same scene.
Ah, very good.
So it's that type of thing where everyone gets you know, what they see.
Right. Yes.
You know, which isn't necessarily.
Right. Exactly. And so we need to be able to hear each other's stories in order to find the unified consciousness field.
Exactly.
Which I think is, you know, being asked of us at this point. So
that's an interesting point. Here we are on spinning around on this planet, and we're trying to, whether we go to a unity or whatever, some sort of general consciousness, or we're always searching for it.
Yeah, and you know, the crop circles really, I mean, they do imply pretty vividly that there are more consciousnesses here that are sentient and powerful than the human collective one, you know, that we're not alone. and they're, you know, I mean, if they're doing communications with us, I mean, this is a really beautiful way to communicate with us. It's so loving. It just feels so loving.
Really?
And, I mean, you know, they're beautiful. So,
it's like giving somebody a temporary tattoo.
Right. Yeah. It's not controlling, you know, at all. You can think of it what you will. And yet they're stimulating something. You know, it's really lovely. So
now, no, we've actually had crop circles here in Sonoma County.
Indeed. Our latest one was in Benicia in 2015, maybe. I think it was about 3 years ago. And it was reflective of our earliest one that I know of, which was in 1995. In 95, there was one in Santa Rosa that was a triangle with circles on each of the points, and it was pointing down. It was kind of on a hill, so you could see it from Highway 12, actually.
Okay.
And there were other anomalous things that happened with it. I think it was just in grass. It wasn't in a field, field of grass. Of course, they're all grasses, but but it was a triangle pointing down. And then the one in Benicia a few years ago, the triangle was pointing up, on, also on a slope, and it had a little satellite. It also had circles around each of the points, and there was a little a satellite flattened circle to its west. And I did visit that one. I was not able to go in, but there was. It was just almost directly south of Travis Air Force Base.
Oh, yeah.
And I found that interesting, kind of pointing to Travis. And, you know, who knows what goes on there. I can only speculate. I have no evidence. But, of course, we love these conspiracy theories. And but I did see a UFO while I was there, and
My goodness,
I was just about ready to leave, and I'd been there for about 4 hours, kind of trying to see if there was some way I could get into the field, and I was just about to leave, and I looked up over the crop circle. Actually, what happened was I saw a plane coming, and it did a U-turn kind of over the crop circle.
Okay.
And then as I was watching this plane turn around, I saw this white dot in the sky. It was just a little white dot, but it was stationary.
Huh.
And it was a blue sky, you know. It was midday. It was a bright blue sky and this little white dot, so not a star, you know. And it was stationary. It wasn't a plane. I'd just seen a plane moving, and I watched it for a while. It was, am I really seeing that? Is that really there? And, you know, it's a little hard to focus on. I tried to get my camera to be able to focus on it. Couldn't find it at all. And then I saw it spit out like pew, 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 three little white dots to one side, and then it disappeared.
Oh, my goodness. Huh.
So that was anomalous.
Yeah.
And who knows, you know, over Travis. But, yeah, I don't know. Who knows? I don't, you know, the fact that I saw that all simultaneously with the crop circle is.
Does seem more than coincidental.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. And so, and of course, these crop circles make you start to wonder about that whole area of mystery.
Exactly.
That we have around us.
So many levels. And we're chatting with Marianne Grace, the founder of the Bay Area Crop Circle Study Group.
I call myself the director.
The director.
That's what I put on my card.
I like that. And if you have a question for Marianne, please feel free to call 707-925-7550. 755-9250. I'll get it there.
Right.
I'm getting all the, between, we've switched phone numbers and wavelengths and everything, so a couple of months ago, so it, got to keep reinforcing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, you mentioned, you know, seeing the crop circles, but do other, I know when I, happened to be interviewing Reg Presley of the Trogs, remember, and it turned out he's a real crop circle person, and you know, he told me of an experience where he saw a flock of birds come up to where a crop circle was and literally part and fly round it.
Right.
Isn't that
interesting?
Yeah.
They don't end at the ground.
Ah.
I think. I mean, you know, if there is a field of some kind, the theories now are that they're counter-rotating plasmic fields that create them. That's been thought that there's some kind of microwave energy that creates them also, that heats the moisture in the crops and then allows them to become pliable, and so then they can be reformed in patterns. And sometimes there are... actually, the cellular structure can be changed inside the actual stems and the nodes inside the crops. That's been documented. That's really interesting. So, you know, if there's these and also the soils get impacted. The soils can have magnetic particles be geometrically and what's the word?
Aligned or?
Yeah. For instance, it's like they're these little magnetic iron balls that they've found in the soils. There was one study that's, you know, and there was the BLT research, Burke, Levengood, and Talbot. They were the people in the United States that were collecting samples. This was and doing most of the research with the grains, with the soils, and you know, so they were doing that for quite a number of years. But of course, it's very expensive. Burke is gone, Levengood is gone, and Nancy Talbot is also she's struggling a little bit with her health at the moment. So and she had gotten more involved with this other fellow, Robert Vandenbrugge, which I can talk about later.
Yeah, I'd like to know who is.
Yeah, he's involved. He's amazing. But let's see, BLT research and the, where was I? I was talking about the soils. Oh,
right,
yes, they don't end necessarily at the surface of the planet. You know, these energies. If you're a dowser, sometimes you can feel fields from further away from ley lines and all of this. And they've been able to measure these fields like as a dome, for instance, over the fields. And of course, I don't know if probably there are pilots that still won't fly over them because they've had the experience that their magnometers get wacky or even engines cut out. You know, there's dozens of stories of people taking their camera equipment in and it failing, or your cell phone battery suddenly just completely drains and you can't get any reception within the crop circle, and you hold it outside the crop circle and it has reception, things like that. So there are definitely fields involved. And, you know, with ones that are anomalously affected. I say the affected and not, I mean, it could be made. Definitely the ones that are anomalously made will have those fields in them. But I think that even ones that are man-made can be re-affected by, you know, that there's, we have so much attention on them. And, you know, again, we cannot divorce ourselves from the phenomenon. So our own attention may even be supplementing the energetic field in some way, feeding those fields,
Exactly. Even
creating them to some extent.
Exactly.
And then if there are other consciousnesses that are that want to be involved, you know, they like, oh, they're the humans. There they are. They're doing something fun. In fact, there's dozens of stories of people making them and balls of light flying through and freaking them out, or, you know, time anomalies or things like that. So, and then again, man-made ones can sometimes be revisited and have something added to them or energetics added to them in some way. So, and there are stories of that too. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let me just play a little bit of music,
give you
a little rest, and let's do a little Circles by the Fleur de Lis.